Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
I bless you, brother.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Even though children of God, according to John 14, that we live in miserable times, we're not the first.
It's absolutely true.
And the word of truth has been written down for us to guide us, to lead us, to give us a life that we otherwise would not have. In the book of Romans, in the first chapters, maybe Romans 1 or 2, it's the Apostle Paul makes mention. You know, what's the difference between us and everybody else? Chiefly, because unto us is committed the oracles of God.
Amen.
There was a word written down by the hand of God in the day of Moses. The Lord could have just put it in their hearts according to the Hebrew letter. You know, he tells us of a day that's coming after that day. I'll write my law in their mind and in their hearts. The Lord could have done that in the Old Testament.
Yep.
But he left this written word, these oracles for us. And the Apostle Paul says, we are ahead of the game. Chiefly, because unto us is committed, or we have the writings of God. To lead us through dark valleys. To give us hope. To help us when there seems to be no help. To help preachers the written word. If you read Nehemiah and Deuteronomy and different chapters, you'll see that there's times in history that the written word was simply lost or put to the side.
Right.
We see, children of God, that the Lord Jesus Himself did not have to quote the written word, but He did.
Yes, He did.
In Matthew chapter 2, they said, tell us where this Jesus is born. We want to go worship Him also. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, as it's written, He's going to be born here in Bethlehem, Judah. In other words, it was a written word left to us, the oracles of God.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 4, we see there our Lord being tempted by Satan. And the Lord says, as it is written. We have the written word of God that's been preserved for us all through the ages. And it's just as true today as it ever was. Peter says that it's not of any private interpretation. That holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write and to prophesy these things. We sometimes get mixed up about the Holy Spirit. I know it's different applications in the New Testament. But you'll see the Holy Spirit in Genesis that he walked with them and His voice was heard. His voice was on the earth at that day. And you'll see the Holy Spirit in Revelation.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is all through the Scriptures. So these Scriptures are not just some word that we cannot survive without it. We cannot survive to have that joyous life
right. That
the Lord is talking about. Our hope is built up with His Word. Our hope, our joy. We have the oracles of God before us. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Listen, children of God. We are so blessed today to have the Holy Writ still among us. It should have been gone a long time ago. The psalmist says on one occasion that it's like silver in the furnace of earth, tried, it's purified seven times. They will endure to all generations. Oh, the Word of God. Oh, aren't we so thankful? I was in the dentist's office Wednesday waiting, and I was looking through a Smithsonian magazine, and they had an old soldier's story there. He was 97 years old. He's still living in Texas. He's been raising watermelons for 50 years. And they showed different things in his house. And they showed his little Bible that he had when he was wounded in France. He was in a prison camp. I've got my uncle's Bible. He was killed in World War in the South Pacific. They gave all of them, Roosevelt did. A little oracle. Something that's yours. Something that you can read. So they asked him on one occasion, you know, what's your opinion of why you've lived so long?
Right.
He said, well, I remember what Jesus wrote. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, I've always tried to do that. So Jesus is telling us something there in a troubled time for his disciples in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. We've got a world that professes God with all the natural wonders that He's made. But you know what? There's something more sweeter than just believing in the natural beauty of God. That's believing in His darling Son. There's three that bad record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. You never can separate them. They've never been separate. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I had a wonderful drive up. Couldn't wait to get here. Been praying for the meeting. Been praying for the preaching, brethren. I'm telling you, I prayed hard. This is the toughest thing that I've ever tried to do. It's the scariest thing. As Ralph was preaching, I'm saying, Ralph, don't sit down. Well, Jamie, why would it bother you? There's not a big crowd. It ain't the crowd. It's saying something that would dishonor
Amen,
the Lord Jesus Christ and taking His Word for granted.
Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, maybe 3:16, there. Oh, I can't get it all straight. Lord, have mercy. I'm about half crazy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. Verse 15 in the third chapter says, and thou from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I sometimes think about the influence that we have on others. There was a grandmother and mother of Timothy had a wonderful influence on him. Couldn't get him to heaven, couldn't born him of the Spirit, but they done a wonderful thing for him.
Right.
They taught him the Scriptures. They taught him this written Word, whatever part they had of it. They didn't take it for granted.
Right.
Because it's something they didn't read just for pleasure. It was for their very survival.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we can survive without it naturally. But a spiritual child of God cannot survive with the joy that he would have without the oracles of God.
Amen.
And all haven't we been blessed to have them. All Scriptures is given by inspiration of God. That means the Old and the New Testament.
Amen.
See, the old Holy Spirit inspired men of old. Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are this is that they prophesies of me. The old Scriptures, their prophecy is of me.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration, not the inspiration. See, God has no beginning or no ending. So the words being pure and perfect, it doesn't say that all scriptures is given by the inspiration, just inspiration of God. That means all the things that we need here from the front to the back to lead us, to guide us, to give us peace and joy, to give us some hope. It's a love letter from home. What profit is it for doctrine? What's wrong with us today? We just have a bunch of opinions. The world, whatever is popular at the time, is what we'll go with. But see, that's not profitable to us.
Nope.
The doctrine is that Jesus Christ is not a wannabe Savior. Jesus said, listen, you can have a joyous heart. You believe in God, all of these wonderful things. Believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. There's not a different up and down and little and big in heaven and immortal glory.
No.
I think the mansions are right here.
Yeah.
I think in the Father is right here. There's high places that no one can take you. There's a place that we come from time to time and we're so lifted up. We feel like we're in the highest place on earth, the most pure place on earth, the grandest place on earth. It's like a mansion. The old perverted word would say, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I'll keep what we've got, won't you?
I will.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. For reproof. We need to prove over and over and over again how we're going to do that. This is how we do it. Back to the book.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, we believe this one. Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Back to the book. Right here. Here it is right here. And we still have it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. The old watermelon raiser for 50 years in Texas had his little Bible and he remembered. I don't know who told him this. Didn't go into detail about his faith or his spiritual life. But he remembered this. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, how do we know what his commandments are? Oh, we go all the way back to the Old Testament. His commandments are right here. To do with to love one another. A new commandment that I give to you. That you love one another. Let not your heart be troubled. We should be happy. We should be joyous. We should step forward and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to serve thy people better. Lord, help me to love thy church better. Because, oh, we've got a lot. We've got a mansion. Let not your heart be troubled. I know there's things going on. Everybody I called and went to see an old preacher the other day, and I said, please, it's the same one. Turn that television off. Turn it off. There's nothing but just things of high places trying to manipulate for something they want. Turn this on. Scriptures. Jesus says, all scripture. We can reprove it over. We can prove ourselves over and over and over again. By inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Oh, we've got doctrine. Where do we get it at? Right here. Not an old Baptist handbook. Not Charles Spurgeon. Not John Gill. Not Matthew Henry. They were great writers, but they were just men. This is the oracles of God. This is the letter that we have been blessed to have. For correction. There's times I need correcting, don't you?
Amen.
A preacher that say that says he never needs correcting, he needs correcting a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well, how do you correct us? By this.
Amen.
By this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the theme of Jesus for us to do what's right. I left my grandchildren today. My wife, they were at our home today. I said, let me tell you something, Emily and Benjamin. If somebody tells you your papa don't love them, you tell them you've done told me a story. Because I love you. And I want you to know that I love you. But I'm going to take a trip, Benjamin and Emily, and I'm going to go for some folks that I love just about as dearly as I do you. And they're called the people of God. Where are you going, Papa? I'm going way up in the mountains. There's a little church at Happy Creek. We're going to sing. It's going to be like old me and Papa. It's going to be the same thing. We're going to go. We're going to hear doctrine preached, not politics. We're going to go and lay aside our prejudices and our evil thoughts of one another. And we're going to say, Lord, help us to lay that aside, these things that so easily beset us.
Right.
We're going to shake each other's hands, babies. We're going to hug each other. We're hoping that the Lord will bless us so we can come back and tell you about the wonderful meeting at Happy Creek this weekend. Because I'm going somewhere, children of God. I told these grandbabies and my wife, there's a place of joy. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. That means we can have a troubled heart all the time if all that we do is stay in this vain world.
Right.
It's plenty of trouble to go around. All scriptures, doctrine. We want to hear about Jesus. We want to hear about, not that the devil's got you, that he don't have to do anything. The devil's got you from the fall of Adam, and Jesus kind of tried. That's not doctrine. How do you know that? I've got the Bible right here.
Exactly.
Been preached that up 400 years. That's all we need. But we have no standard. And all these scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in 2 Timothy 4, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing with his kingdom, preach the word. Brother Ralph, I totally agree with you. On the way that seemingly our churches are getting thinner. But I've got good news for you. Don't let your heart be... Listen. Let your heart be joyful. We can get so caught up into that we can forget the purpose of what preaching is for.
Amen.
He tells Timothy, preach the word. Apostle Paul said, the Lord didn't send me to baptize, but to preach. Preach the word. What's the word? That Jesus loves us. What's the word? That Jesus has promised that he'll never leave us. What's the word? That Jesus has said he'll always be with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Absolutely. We're concerned about the church, but we're not the first. We're concerned about this country, but we're not the only ones. But I'm telling you, Jesus says that we've got some scriptures that can give us joy. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, why was their heart troubled? Because Jesus was going away. And they were sad. You believe in God. He says in the book of John, I can't remember where it's at, that believing you may have life. That's not talking about being born of the Spirit. If you'll just believe, it means a life of joy in a terrible and a dark situation. It means a life that we can save ourselves from this untoward generation.
Right.
I had a life in a tire factory for 30 years. That life is over. I've got a life as a husband for 44 years with my dear wife. That's a life. Jesus has said there's a life that can be had following Him.
Amen.
That we can have in the corrupt world, and we can be in our own little world. We can have our life of joy and peace. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
Lord, I wouldn't be able to, my grandbabies and children and my wife, I wouldn't be able to function if I didn't have this word to go to and to sit on the porch and to read and to just read through the Psalms and the oracles of God. The Apostle Paul said, the oracles of God is a great benefit to us. And to the Jews, it was. It was, absolutely. They learned about God. Preach the word. Preach the word. Lord, have mercy. This is, I thought as I got up, this is going to be the time when I say, Lord, what happened? I felt so good coming up. Lord, what happened? Paul tells young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Not opinion. Doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, I'm going to leave you with the truth that's not a fable.
Gotcha.
Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You believe in God? He didn't say, you believe in God. He says, ye believe in God.
Right.
I know you believe in God.
That's what he said.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me.
Amen.
I've seen him, children of God. I don't understand the situations, but I've seen his face. And all he's yet a joy to believe in. Everything that I've ever hadn't measured up, he's measured up. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. You know what? If we had a mansion all the time, we'd get tired of that too.
Yeah.
I tell these retired folks, and we'll talk to Brother Gary when I get him home too.
Go ahead.
Be careful. Because when we get to, we have a little leisure time, don't nothing please us. We raise our pleasure level on up. We used to be appreciated with a weekend off, now we want all week off. We used to be, you know, it used to be different pleasure levels in our life. And we just get to where a mansion just don't get it anymore. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
I'm driving this point home before I sit down. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Now that's a whole heap of preaching right there. I wish you'd get Stan up here. Or Brother Robert, or one of these preachers. Brother Gary. There's things that Jesus told us, not just to talk, that's very important. Let not your heart be troubled. This family that the father is gone, what a terror, what a loss, how could you have joy in that?
Right.
Well, there's joy to be had. Jesus has overcome death. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, man, that took his life or whatever situation, you on the battlefield, you that's aborted, whatever. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's ready when you get there. It's ready when I come for you. That's a better saying. That's a joyful heart. What in the world could a preacher say to a family that that happened to? All of them sitting in church. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He didn't have to go to complete heaven.
No, he did not.
Preparation had to be made. He had to lay his life down. Had to shed his pure blood for his people. That's a preparation that had to be made.
That's what he did.
That ought to give us some joy.
Amen.
Many mansions.
What love is this?
If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away, I'll come again.
Right.
I tell my wife sometimes, if I don't make it back, don't be sad for me. I'm telling you. Sometimes I will testify before the church, the Lord's church right here. Sometimes I think the Lord loves me so much, he's got to be right around the corner. I think sometimes, Lord, I just know you're coming during the night. I know that you said you're coming for me. And I believe it. It gives me a joyful heart. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave my family, my church, all of y'all. I love you. That's not what I'm saying. But this gives me a joyful heart. And when Jesus says, I'm coming back. He says, a little while you see me, and then you won't see me, but you're going to see me again. Let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Brothers, house of many mansions, for were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again.
Right.
He's coming for all of us. He's coming for all of us individually. We may be here when He comes back, and we all be caught up together. Either way, He's coming for us.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we need to instill this in our children. We need to not only tell them, we need to live it.
Amen.
There's something greater than your father. There's something greater than your mother. If you love your father and mother, it's because Jesus has blessed them with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Father, I pray also thou, what thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Lord, if that don't make you happy, you need to adjust your happiness level. If that don't make you happy,
amen.
Lord, it makes me happy. I appreciate your attention through this mumbling. I love you and I appreciate you. May the Lord bless you with a restful night. Hope to see you tomorrow. I thank you for your kind attention.
Twas great.